Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Kirit Bharadhari. Gopi Jana Balaba Kirit Bharadhari. Your soul in Andana, Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopi Jana Ballabha Kirit Bharadhari. Jai Gopi Jana Ballabha Kirit Bharadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Om Shivam Sabaradajakacharya Astatara Satasi Simad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Shivam Sabaradajakacharya Astatara Satasi Simad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasi Thakur Prabhupada Ki. Go pray, Manandi! We're reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 2. Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 14. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagaranda koti. Koti svasesa vasudari vibhuti binnam. Tad brahma niskalam anantam asesha bhutam. Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagaranda koti. Koti svisesha vasudari vibhuti binnam. Tad brahma niskalam anantam asesha bhutam. Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagananda Koti. Koti Shvasesha Vasudhari Vibhuti Binnam. Tad Brahma Nishkalam Anantam Ashesha Bhutam. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Vaishnavis, Yasya, of whom, Prabha, the effulgence, Prabhavata, of one who excels in power, Jagat Anda, of universes, Koti Koti Shu, in millions and millions, Ashesha, unlimited. Vasudha Adi, with planets, and so forth. Vibhuti, with opulences. Binnam, becoming variegated. Tat, that. Brahma, Brahman. Nishkalam, without parts. Anantam, unlimited. Ashesha, Bhutam, being complete. Govindam, Lord Govinda. Adi Purusham, the original person. Tam, him. Aham, I. Bhajami, worship. Translation: I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahman, which is absolute, complete, and unlimited, and which displays the varieties of countless planets with their different opulences in millions and millions of universes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse appears in the Brahma Samhita. Each and every one of the countless universes is full of innumerable planets with different constitutions and atmospheres. All these come from the unlimited non-dual Brahman, or complete whole, which exists in absolute knowledge. The origin of that unlimited Brahman effulgence is the transcendental body of Govinda, who is offered respectful obeisances as the original and supreme personality of Godhead. Om Agana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militang Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The subject of Brahman, the Brahman effulgence particularly, the Brahma Jyoti, is not a subject that we may dwell upon, because as Vaishnavas, we're all focused on Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, and we consider that the Brahman effulgence is not very important. But this chapter 2 of Adi Lila will give you second thoughts. In other words, to fully appreciate the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have to understand how great is the Brahma Jyoti. Out of our process of developing love for Krishna, we definitely overlook, so to speak, the Brahma Jyoti. But as Lord Brahma is pointing out here, that glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is so inconceivably powerful that the more you appreciate the power, yasya prabha prabhavato, the excelling power of that prabha, the effulgence, the more we appreciate that, the more we'll understand Krishna's glories. So in this chapter, Kaviraj Goswami has a mission. That mission is, first of all, to establish the glories of Krishna, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti Shabdyate, to establish Krishna as the ultimate tattva containing all the other tattvas, containing the tattva of the impersonal Brahman, containing the tattva of Paramatma, Supersoul, and, of course, he's the last word in transcendence as Bhagavan. So Kaviraj Goswami first wants to make sure you understand that, because he has another goal in mind. After firmly reminding you of how Krishna is the ultimate tattva, he then wants you to understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the same Swayam Bhagavan, original personality of Godhead, as Krishna. Once you accept that there's no difference between Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you'll accept that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the ultimate tattva containing Brahman and Paramatma, and he's Bhagavan. So please keep in mind that mission of Kaviraj Goswami. He knows that the three tattvas, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are present throughout the Vedic literature. He knows it's common. But he also knows, as Prabhupada explains in the purports, Kaviraj Goswami also knows that very few understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the source of Brahman and Paramatma, and he's Bhagavan. I like to focus on a statement by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, which will clarify the relationship between Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He explains that both are Swayam Bhagavan. Both are the original personality of Godhead. That, because often you'll hear devotees think that and say that Mahaprabhu is the golden avatar. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. He's the incarnation for distributing love of Krishna. Generally, you can say like that. But more precisely, no, he's not an avatar. He's avatari, the source of all avatars. I was just listening to a recording of Srila Prabhupada who was questioning a devotee. Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And the devotee replied, he's the incarnation of love of Godhead. Prabhupada said, no, he's Krishna. So again, keep in mind the mission of Kaviraj Goswami in this chapter. He's going to explain the greatness of Brahman, the greatness of Paramatma, but say, he's going to conclude by saying, just as these are subordinate to Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, similarly, because Lord Chaitanya is non-different from Krishna, therefore these very common Vedic tattvas of Brahman and Paramatma also apply to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, you have that verse in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita which proclaims the glowing effulgence of his body, the partial representation of the Lord as Supersoul, Shadaishvarya Purna, the Lord who is complete in six opulences. This is all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as you'll find later in the chapter, Prabhupada declares that Kaviraj Goswami emphatically declares that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. So that's what this chapter 2, that's the foundation that this chapter 2 is laying before proceeding to describe Lord Chaitanya's appearance in terms of his external reasons for appearing and his hidden reasons for appearing. But first, you have to be convinced that Krishna is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Then your road to spiritual advancement is clear. I often point out that often, even in India, the land of Krishna, there's so much misunderstanding about Krishna. So many concoctions. He's the Hindu forest love god. So many notions. Why is this? It's because they're not approaching Krishna through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this age of Kali, you'll be very bewildered trying to understand the full glories of Krishna without going through Lord Chaitanya. As you know, many times in India when people have heard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even in Bengal, they think he was a Bengali saint. They give that much credit. The British, in their historical accounts, which do contain references to Prataparudra and Lord Chaitanya and his associates, but of course they're all considered ordinary persons. So they describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the British historians, as being the greatest social reformer that Bengal has ever seen, that Orissa has ever seen. He was leveling the caste system. He was treating everyone equally. And then what happened? He went mad and lost the plot. That's how Lord Chaitanya is present in mundane British historical accounts. What happened to him? The last years of his life, he was delirious. So what this chapter is doing is very important, and it requires a little thought. It requires some deep consideration. And part of that deep consideration is to understand the glories of the Brahma-jyoti. What we dismiss all the time. Ah, it's just Krishna's effulgence. Who could get hung up in that? We focus on Govinda. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamahamajami. But Lord Brahma is telling you, don't sneeze at the Brahma-jyoti. Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagananda Koti. Govinda has a glowing effulgence. And it's Yasya Prabha Prabhavato. That effulgence is so powerful. That, what does it do? It displays the varieties of countless planets with their different opulences in millions and millions of universes. Now, it's a bit technical how the Brahma-jyoti creates the varieties, the variegatedness of the planetary systems. I think the main barrier to our grasping that, how can Brahman, the effulgence of Brahman, create? Isn't it just non-dual? Isn't it just a mass of pure consciousness? How can that be responsible for all the variegatedness in the universes? Thinking like that, I'm sorry to tell you, is the result of a little bit of tinge of impersonalism, and I'll explain why. The Advaitavadis think that there is just Brahman, a pure mass of consciousness. And then somehow or other there was delusion and the material worlds and the living, the jivas, the part and parts of living entities appeared. They don't give the Brahman effulgence, which does exist and which is spiritual. They give it no credit for being able to make anything happen. In other words, they're denying that the Lord has potencies and his potencies can do things. So therefore, it's hard for us to fathom how can the Brahma-jyoti create countless universes with all their varieties. We forget, parasha shaktir vividaiva shruyate. Krishna has multifarious potencies, and those potencies do things. I like how Prabhupada points out in the second canto that it's not that Krishna does things in terms of creation by having tools like a hammer and chisel or something. He has potencies, and the Brahma-jyoti is potent. It provides the seeds of the material universes and varieties contained therein. And then Lord Brahma says, I take the seeds and then make everything manifest. But the seeds don't come from me. In Mayapur, we were focusing on the second canto, Bhagavatam, chapter 5, Cause of All Causes. And there, Lord Brahma is responding to his son, Narada Muni's queries. And thanking Narada Muni, you're merciful to me by questioning me about, am I number one? Am I the tops, or is there someone further, someone beyond me, someone superior to me? Narada Muni very humbly made his inquiry. Please explain this to me. After Brahma thanked him for his humble inquiry, he said that after the Brahma-jyoti creates, then I step in and do my service. This gives us insight into how potent is the Brahma-jyoti. But if you just disconnect the Brahma-jyoti from Krishna, you'll forget that Krishna has potencies. It's not, and this is a point the acharyas bring up. It could be a fine point, but it's important. Sometimes persons say, well, doesn't Krishna create the material universes? Yes and no. Sometimes persons will say, and Sanatan Goswami brings out this point in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, sometimes persons will say that Krishna creates. What is this about the Brahma Jyoti, Brahman creating? But they're forgetting the absolute truth has potencies, and those potencies do everything. So let's consider again. Let's dare to consider the glories of the Brahma Jyoti, but in relation to Krishna. In other words, remember our theme today. The more you understand the glories of the Brahma Jyoti, the more you appreciate Krishna as its source. So let's go to Gopakumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, his tour of the universe. I hope that all of you who have focused enough on Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita will have the chance to read the BBT's Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It is the gold standard for texts published after Prabhupada's departure. And so there you find out so much about the cosmos and how it's arranged. So let's go to Brahmaloka. Gopakumar is on Brahmaloka and he's having darshan of an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, Mahapurusha, on Brahmaloka. And the Mahapurusha is telling him that you haven't seen anything yet. You're really fascinated by me. But what I want you to do is go back down to Braj on the earth planet, get into your mantra chanting, and then I want you to see the place of liberation, Mahakalapur. So Gopakumar is a little disappointed in, on one hand, because he's just focused on Madan Gopal. I've got to find Madan Gopal and be there with him as a cowherd boy. But he takes the order of the Mahapurusha on his head, and he does that. He leaves Brahmaloka and goes down to Braj, talks to his guru, chants his mantra, and then he goes through the coverings of the universe. 8 coverings, each one. How many times thicker than the one before? 10 times. 10? Yes. And so each covering of the universe has its presiding deity arranged in a hierarchy of power. In other words, each successive covering of the universe has increasing opulence, increasing power, increasing majesty, and a more manifest presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representatives. So he finally gets to the last covering, Prakriti. And it is so enticing because the whole realm of Prakriti, the last covering of the universe, is colored shyam, dark blue. And so you know what Gopakumar is thinking. Oh, this is the color of my Lord. So he's very fascinated by this last covering, Prakriti, in which all the bodies are composed of primordial matter, the most subtle material ingredient. And so then he notices that the predominating deity of the last covering, Prakriti, the predominating deity is Mohini Murti. And the presiding personality who worships Mohini Murti on that last covering of the universe, she's Maya. And she tells Gopakumar, I'm going to give you so many mystic powers. Anima city, this city, that city. Just stay here. Gopakumar has already been through 7 other layers. And each time he go to a layer, the person in charge would say, please stay here. But he would keep moving on. So now he's meeting Maya herself, who introduces herself as an expansion of Krishna's internal potency. So she offers him liberation. I can give you liberation. Be kind to me. Do what I say. Stay here. You'll get liberation. Gopakumara doesn't want that. Oh, okay. I can give you bhakti because, after all, I am the expansion of Subhadra, Yogamaya. Stick around. You want bhakti? Okay, we can do that. It can be arranged. But Gopakumara has his vision set on going to Mahakalapur, the abode of liberation, because that was his instruction from the Lord on Brahmaloka. So now he's heading to Mahakalapur, the abode of liberation. That means where everyone merges. And as he approaches it, he can't see anything. He's blinded by the effulgence. Remember when Krishna took Arjuna to retrieve the dead sons of the Brahmana? Arjuna had toured the whole universe. You briefly get an account of that in the 10th canto. He went to the bottom of the universe, to the lowest of the lower planetary systems. He went to the top of the universe. He went to Yamaloka, the abode of Yamaraj. Couldn't find those dead sons. He was about to commit suicide, and Krishna said, "Come with me." So they went through the coverings of the universe, and they got to the covering of Prakriti, which is dark. And Krishna had to, for his pastime pleasure, he had to illuminate the way with his Sudarshan chakra. And then Arjuna and Krishna went, they found themselves across the Karna ocean, the causal ocean, at the palace of Mahavishnu. But first, when Arjuna got out of the darkness by the grace of Krishna's chakra, they were blinded by the effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti. At least Arjuna was. The same thing happened to Gopakumara. He couldn't see clearly. And then finally, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahakala, Gopakumara could sort of see that Lord. But he knew, this is not because of my vision that I'm seeing. This is not because of my intellect. It's because of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And without that mercy, you can't see anything. So how did Lord Mahakala look to Gopakumara on the abode of liberation? Mukti. Sometimes he would see the form of Mahakala, and sometimes just the effulgence. And so he's having difficulty focusing because actually most persons on Mahakalapur can't get past the effulgence. Sanatan Goswami gives a brilliant example of how this can happen. He said, there are so many worshipers of the sun, expert worshipers of the sun, but how many of them see what's really going on when they look at the sun? How many expert worshipers of the sun planet see the demigod on his chariot? Anybody here see that? So similarly, just as you're blinded by the effulgence of the sun and don't see what's going on, similarly, most persons, yogis, ascetics, students of the Vedic literature, they can't see past the effulgence, even when they're at the abode of liberation, the abode of mukti. So Gopakumara is struggling. Mahakala, the Lord Mahakala is appearing, showing his form, and then Gopakumara gets blinded and just sees the effulgence. And one thing he notices is very, among the very interesting things, he sees that the Lord of Liberation, Mahakala, is decorated with chitkana. I was reading that terminology that Prabhupada uses last night in the Krishna book, in case you thought the Krishna book was just elementary knowledge. chitkana, particles of spiritual consciousness. They lose their, or better put, their individuality, their personality is never extinct. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Natvaivaham jatrinasham, natvam neme janadapa. We're always an individual, always have been, and always will be. But these chitkana, these particles of spiritual consciousness, they're doing some bhakti. That's from the merciful Lord Mahakala's point of view. Your individuality has become dormant, and you're decorating me. You're my bhaktas. But that, Sanatana Goswami is saying, is a very generous statement. The only bhakti they might be able to do, be said to do, is they as blazing particles of consciousness, they decorate the body of Mahakala, but their individuality is completely dormant. They're rendering no service. So Gopakumar is watching all this, and he's getting worried, because looking at Lord Mahakala, Gopakumar says to himself, I've never been more reminded of my worshipful Lord, Madan Gopal. But there's a problem here. Not only do I keep seeing Mahakala, the Lord, disappearing into his form disappearing and just the effulgence, but I myself am being drawn to merge. I've got to get out of here. This abode of liberation, it's too intense for my relationship with Madan Gopal. So you get in Brihad Bhagavatamrita a very wonderful description of the abode of liberation. It's over inconceivable, dazzling effulgence, and yet at the same time you feel Gopakumar struggling to see the Lord past the effulgence. You know, Isha Upanishad, Haranmayena, Patrena, please remove the blinding effulgence. Well, that's what Gopakumar is coping with. And also, you feel how he's fighting off the pull to merge, because the abode of liberation is all about merging. But remember, those particles that have so-called merged, the chitkana, the particles of spiritual consciousness, they do have individuality, but it's dormant. This is what Sanatana Goswami explains. So how does Gopakumar get out of Mahakalapur? Lord Shiva happens to visit Mahakalapur, the abode of liberation, on his way to see his associate Kuvera. And Lord Shiva's associates start speaking about the glories of Shivaloka. But then some other visitors come. Some visitors from Vaikuntha, and they upstage everything. Gopakumar, you should come check out Vaikuntha. You think Shivaloka is something? Come with us. We've got something to show you. So then Gopakumar gets his tour of Vaikuntha, which is a whole expansive subject matter. So back to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By your understanding the glories of the Brahma Jyoti, and Gopakumar was experiencing that glory, you'll better appreciate Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I was about to mention, I almost forgot, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's clarification. Yes, I believe I mentioned that he said both Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are Swayam Bhagavan. They're the original personality of Godhead. It's not that Lord Chaitanya is an avatar. He's avatari, he's the source. And you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Jiva Dharma explains that at the top of the spiritual world, Lord Chaitanya has his abode and Krishna has his abode. And devotees who are focused mainly on Krishna Leela go to Krishna's part. And those who are focused mainly on Gaura Leela go to Lord Chaitanya's part. And those who are doubles, those who are attracted to both Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela. They have a place in both dhams. That brings us to what I consider to be the clincher. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that, look, you want to understand the relationship between Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, think about this. When Krishna wants to taste love of separation from himself, he appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to be the supreme enjoyer, he appears as Krishna. So you can see this double reality. Of course, there's no question of time. When did this happen? When did that happen? But I believe that this statement by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur can really help you in clarification. When Krishna wants to taste love of separation of himself, he appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to be the supreme enjoyer, he appears as Krishna. So you have this double reality that's folding, that's revealing and unrevealing, but it's eternally present. So back to the mission of this chapter, which is to convince you that Krishna is Lord Chaitanya and vice versa. Therefore, it's not a stretch to say that the impersonal Brahman is the glow of Lord Chaitanya's body, the partial manifestation of Supersoul Paramatma is the partial representation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not a stretch to say that. So Kaviraj Goswami is taking what is known amongst Vedic students, that there's Brahman, there's Paramatma, there's Bhagavan, and say he's applying those three categories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not only is Mahaprabhu the source of the Brahman effulgence, not only is he the source of the partial manifestation of Paramatma, he's also Shadaishvarya Purna. He's complete in all six opulences as the ultimate Bhagavan. And then at the end of this chapter, Kaviraj Goswami encourages you, Siddhanta Bolia Chitte Nak Kodawalas. Don't shirk away from understanding these issues, because by hearing these tattvas and their source, you'll strengthen your bhakti. Remember at the beginning of the chapter, he talked about how even a little child can understand the absolute truth. Sri Chaitanya Prabhum Vande Balo Pi Yara Nugrahat Tadennana Matagraha Vyaptam Siddhanta Sagaram. I offer my obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even an ignorant child can swim across the ocean of conclusive truth, which is full of the crocodiles of various theories. So we'll stop here and ask if there are any questions. Bhaji Narayan Maharaj, Hare Krishna.
First off, that was a masterful class. It was just so deep and profound and comprehensive. I will never think of the Brahmajyoti the same again. my deep clarity has been profound. I do have a question. And I meant everything I'm saying. I'm friendly to deities. I can't be just artificially friendly. I'm wondering, why did Lord Brahma send Gopakumar to the, is it Mahakalapura, or the impersonal, the home of the impersonal effulgence of the Lord in that form? Was it just to meet the mission duties and go to the next level? What was the reason?
It wasn't. It wasn't Lord Brahma. It was the incarnation of the Lord Mahapurush, who told him, Go back down. You're attracted to me. You're listening to my instructions, but you haven't seen anything yet. Go back down to Vraj, chant your mantra, talk to your guru, and then go to Mahakalapur. Because the Lord wanted to have a full presentation of what's going on in existence. Gopa Kumar was feeling a little separation. I just want to see Madan Gopal, but I have this order. So I'll go to Mahakalapur. I'll pass through all the coverings of the universe. And by his doing that, he's giving you a vision of the whole universe.
It's part of Sinatana Goswami's genius to give us the full picture. Yeah, okay, I'm satisfied.
Anyone else? Yes?
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much. Maharaj, the story of Gopa Kumar, Madan Gopal, so one question is that this Gopa Kumar story belongs to which millennium? Which...
You'll have to ask Sanatan Goswami.
How does that question help you?
Because Sanatan Goswami does mention in that book that once he also became Indra while he was in heaven.
As I said, and as Bhajan Maharaj said, how does this question help you? And number two, you'll have to ask Sanatana Goswami, especially because you're dealing with subjects that are beyond the realm of time. One interesting thing is that Sanatana Goswami, because Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, in his commentaries on Brihadbhagavatamrita, practically added nothing to Sanatana Goswami's commentary. So you're getting it straight from Sanatana Goswami. In one commentary, it stated that even though Gopa Kumar would stay away from Braj for apparently a long time, especially when he's on Brahmaloka, he stayed away from earthly Braj that extent of time, still Braj always looked the same. Figure that one out.
The way is like the Gopa Kumar, the way he goes back to the spiritual world. The same pattern, all the living entities go like
this. No, Gopa Kumar had service to do. So his curiosity, just like when he got to the eighth covering of the universe, Prakriti, everything is sham colored, dark blue rain cloud covered. I like to check this place out. So that was basically to show you what's going on. But all the time he's thinking, Madan Gopal, Madan Gopal. That's in the back of his mind. But to give you a vision of the whole universe and its glories, he's a tour guide whose ultimate consciousness is always a cowherd boy with Madan Gopal. So consider him in that way, a tour guide of the material and spiritual world.
Prabhupada was struggling just to give back the Vedic magazine to intelligent people. I mean, people are suffering everywhere, and they're getting the highest truth from pure devotees, and still hardly anybody would accept, or just think, oh yeah, you're doing some nice cause. But they don't appreciate the beauty or the importance of taking up spiritual life. So how is it that, is it time, place, and circumstance? Now it seems like more people are readily accepting the books and reading them, whereas Prabhupada in the beginning days was struggling so hard and people were not so inclined. It has seemed like they had a special covering over their head. They couldn't appreciate the spiritual necessity of taking up.
Well, you're asking me for a subjective analysis. Of course, we know here in India how Prabhupada apparently struggled. Very, very few devotees from Bharat came forward during his presence. I remember the few that were around then, they would tell me, it's good that we're just, there are just a few of us from Bar because we get special attention from Prabhupada. Just like in London when Prabhupada encountered our Subhag Maharaj, who he was at that time he was a Bengali student in London, studying at university in London. And so he was at the Soho Temple, and Subhag Maharaj told me, Prabhupada heard, oh, Bengali student here, and bring him. So the now Subhag Maharaj was very hesitant, lingering at the doorway. Prabhupada's, come, sit down. They're just like, this is Bengal, come on in. So quite a few of those original devotees from Bharat told me that they got special treatment. And we know that sometimes Prabhupada would say that, where are they? Why aren't they coming? Whereas at that time, in the Western world, so many young people were joining. And of course, there was nothing practically in Russia except for very few. Very few in Ukraine. So it can look like the emphases can change, but we should always, the geographic intensities can change, but we should always remember the root of it all, Srila Prabhupada's effort to bring Krishna consciousness outside of India and then bring it back to India. And now you see the result in India of Prabhupada's efforts. Which reminds me, one last point. What Prabhupada did is a real lesson in giving your all in all and then be detached. He tried so much for the Juhu project and then departed 3 months before its completion. I can't conceptualize such detachment. Well, let me stick around and see the full glories. But his vision, just like devotees around him asked him, how can you depart now? Your work is not complete. You haven't finished Bhagavatam. And he said, I've given enough. Of course, we feel we didn't get enough. But he saw that he had given enough. He saw that the Juhu project will be done in a few months. He didn't feel the need to see its grand opening. I want to be there when it... He didn't have that same kind of tinge to his devotional service. One last story. It's from the BBT days. Everyone knows about the Chaitanya Charitamrita Marathon. Prabhupada wanted the Chaitanya Charitamrita to finish and fifth canto. Not just Chaitanya Charitamrita, he wanted the fifth canto too. And you all know how that was impossible materially. Even today, when we look back on it, those of us who were part of it, we can't figure out how it happened. It made no sense. That's why...
What were the conditions?
Huh?
What would the Prabhupada say we have to do? How much time?
2 months. It made no sense. And his top managers were flabbergasted. You're doing such wonderful service here. You know when someone presents to you something that doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry, Prabhu, but... this is not going to work. They gave that response to Prabhupada. And from any ordinary point of view, they were right. But Prabhupada told them, you either do this or you're all rascals. And when he says like that, it's not like we say rascals. It means... So everyone panicked. But by Prabhupada's mercy, the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna... the task was done. So Prabhupada said, on my Vyasa Puja day, I'll be in Krishna Balaram Mandir. All the books have to be done by that date. So I remember the last volume, hot off the press in Memphis, Tennessee. A devotee was waiting, grabbed it, the first volume of the last book, took it off the press, got on the plane, flew to Delhi, took a taxi to the Krishna Balaram Mandir, on Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja day, walks in. Prabhupada is just getting up from his Vyasasana walks back to his room, and the devotee who did this told me personally, and the devotee's following behind him triumphantly, holding the book. We did it, Prabhupada, we did it. So he gets to Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada sits down on his asana. The devotee does his full dandavats and then presents the book, this extraordinary moment, the culmination of Mission Impossible, hands Prabhupada the book, expecting, you know, fireworks in the sky, thunder, lightning, the devatas descending. Prabhupada takes the book in his hand. Oh, you have promised before the Vyasa Puja ceremony. Now it is after. That was it. You have promised before the ceremony. Now it is after the ceremony. Finished. I don't know how many of you young devotees could handle your Guru Maharaj treating you like that. You probably bloop. You would have blooped when he gave you the order, 17 books in 2 months. Anyway, later that night, when no one was around, Prabhupada dictated his famous letter to the BBT that by this effort, you'll all go back to Godhead. Of course, you have to hold on to the ticket. If you drop the ticket, that Prabhupada is not to blame for that. He put the ticket in your hand. He's put the ticket in all of your hands. You have to hold on to it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Jai. 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 Jai.